chapter 8, we're talking on the renewal of the mind. And we're talking the renewal of the mind. We're talking about releasing the power of God as we're able to concentrate our heart, our mind, all our being on God. The power of God is always present everywhere. Everywhere, in your home, in here, in this place, the power of God is always present. But there's a way by which we can release the presence of God, the power of God, into our very home, into our lives. And that is provided we concentrate fully on Him, with all of our being just worshipping Him, and not be distracted, so that the power of God can flow freely in our midst. Sometimes when you just yield unto Him and concentrate, the power of God starts moving. And here is where we have to pay attention. When the power of God starts moving, we can wait for the power of God, but the power of God cannot wait for us. You must understand that. That there is an anointing that comes. And if you don't tell on the anointing, when it's there, it will leave. It will leave. We are supposed to wait for God, not God wait for us. The Bible never has a scripture where it says God waits for us, but it says we wait upon the Lord. So when the power of God is moving, then it's like sometimes I want people to get ready and respond fast when the power of God is moving, because it just only takes a split second to bring a healing. It just only takes a split second to bring a healing. And whether you heal or not can depend on that split second. It can depend on the very split second. It is as fast and even faster than lightning. It just goes, and then you're healed, that's all. So, when the presence of God begins to come, we have to pay attention to what the power of God is doing and flow immediately with the power of God. That is why sometimes even the arm is staying in order here, it's not me who heals, Jesus will heal, and I have to sense where his power is flowing and channel the power unto people. So sometimes you flow here, sometimes you flow there, and I walk along and flow with Him. But if everyone else comes into God, sometimes the power of God just sweeps through very fast. And if you're ready, sometimes I see the power of God start moving very strong. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then it's going to go on moving, but next time it's not ready. So there's a little stop there. So when the power of God starts healing people, when there's a healing anointing, remember the power of God can come like the wind. And that's all. You about 20, 30 people can get healed. We have to be ready. Pray. The will of God will not wait for you, but you have to wait for the will of God. In Acts chapter 2, they waited in the upper room for 10 days. They wait for God, God doesn't wait for them. When God comes, you better be there. You better be there. That is why the Bible tells us to wait upon God, to wait for Him. Because I've seen many times, the difference whether a person get healed or don't get healed can depend on a split second. Power of God. We have to give our full attention to God. We have to give our full attention to the Holy Spirit. We have to give our full attention to the presence of God moving. It can depend on that. Very split second, whether a person get healed or not. And sometimes if they're not flowing along, then the power just lifts up. The healing wave goes off and it's a different wave of moving on the Holy Spirit. Now the reason I ask people to stay in the presence of God is this. Many times God got more than just what you wanted. See? But sometimes even they give you a touch, God got something more. And as long as His anointing is still on you, enjoy His anointing. Don't rush away from His anointing. After it took so hard to get a presence, when you get it, enjoy, worship, adore Him, spend time in His presence. So in Romans chapter 8, we're touching on the renewal of the mind, and this is our verse in verse 6. For to be spiritually, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It's life and peace. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Unless our thoughts are centered on God, there will be no life and no peace. Life is where the power of God is. The word life is the word zoe, the healing anointing of God. Every word of God is done through His life. The life of God is resurrecting life. and the life and peace follows is the result of spiritual mindedness. Our thoughts must be centered on God, then you produce life and peace. And I know this is sometimes when the anointing of God is moving. Remember just one thought, I thought on that. One thought, Peter just had one doubt when he walked on water and he started sinking. The difference between walking on water or sinking in water is just 1 second, less than that maybe. What is inside you? So sometimes when the power of God moves, we have to move very quickly, because sometimes when a person is in a position, just in the position to be touched by the power of God, you have to minister straight away at that point. Because the next second, the devil will throw it down. So you hit the person, I don't mean literally, excuse me, or that I use this kind of expression. I mean, you channel the power of God very quickly, just before the devil throws it down there, and the power of God just hits the person. The power of God hits the person can heal, and by the time the doubt comes, say, no, devil, I have been touched. See the difference? But sometimes when a person is standing here waiting to be ministered to, all kinds of things can go on in the mind. And as a person concentrates on God, God's power, it just reaches a position that the power of God can flow. If you don't channel the power of God right at that time when the anointing of God is there, you wait the next second, something happens, distract the person, it might go to something other thing. You come to the person right at that time, it was too late. Because there's a block. God's power flows through our spirit, soul, and then our body. He touched inside out. The devil tries to oppress us from outside in. The devil attacks you or tempts you through the flesh, through the body, and then onto your mind, putting thoughts into you. And he tries to gain control of your life. His thoughts are from outside, God's thoughts are from inside. Spiritual mindedness will produce life and peace. Life is where the power of God is produced. Peace is where the will of God is in our life. God is more interested in more than just blessing us. He wants all of us to live in His will. God doesn't want you just to be healed and touched and live in your own will or live in the devil's will. But God wants you to live in His will. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Romans chapter 12, the same book in verse 1 and 2, on the renewal of the mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Now concerning spiritual gifts. Right? Excuse me. I've sent two books. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. There we have it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And verse 2. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your, everybody say that word, mind. Say mind. That you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The renewing of the mind will produce and help us to know the will of God. The good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. You will never have peace on this earth until you live in the will of God. Nothing in this world can satisfy you. You think about that. Whatever of the temptations of the flesh, of food, of anything, of possession, it looks good before you have it, but once you have it, well, it just seems normal. True satisfaction in this life can only be found when we live in the perfect will of God. In Romans 12 verse 2, The result of the renewal of the mind is the will of God in our life, which produces peace. Peace comes when we are living in the will of God. There are three areas of the will of God: the good will, the acceptable will, and the perfect will. I repeat, the good will, the acceptable will, and the perfect will. There are three different Greek words there. The good will, the acceptable will, and the perfect will. In these three words here, we have the three categories of God's will. Although when you read it, it seems only to be one will, I'll show from the scripture there is three separate wills. The word good talks about the general good will of God. The good will of God. There is a good will, the acceptable will, which is the permissive will in the Greek, and the perfect will. The good will is just where everything that is there created up to now. The good will of God is where God sends the rain on the just and the unjust. The good will of God is where you enjoy all the natural laws and all the natural creation of God. All the cattle on a thousand hills, silver and gold. Every law. The good will of God is where you enjoy the law of electricity. You go home and switch on your electric lights, or you don't have that, your generator, you don't have that, your pump light, or what else do they have? Or something that man created. But the good will of God is also enjoyed by people who don't know God. People who don't know God still can travel by buses, by cars, which are put into this earth. The metal is put into this earth. The laws of nature and the laws and behavior of metals is put into this earth by God. So the good will of God is where everybody enjoys it, whether you know God or you don't know God. And I classify medicine under good will, because medicine is using natural laws to heal sicknesses. So a non-Christian could have it as well as a Christian. And a non-Christian could also operate medicine. You don't have to be anointed, tongue speaking, tongue talking, demon casting, demon chasing, etc. to be a doctor, right? There are a lot of non-Christian doctors around. So medicine is everything of creation or natural law that man has invented or made, that man is enjoying up to now, is classified under the good will of God. Where God is merciful to the just and to the unjust, He doesn't take away His rain from the non-Christian house. Otherwise, when it rains, the rain will just be coming right away. If your neighbor is not a believer, the rain will just fit through on your garden, all over your garden, and right as you look above the fence, the clouds are cut just like this. There was no rain on that side. And you look over on that side, there's no rain. And they don't have water, etc. And then over on your house, all the laws of electricity are working nicely. Over in your neighbor's house, electricity has gone berserk. You couldn't use anything. And the car went berserk. And everything doesn't work. All the natural laws go topsy-turvy. But over on your side, all the natural things. No, it doesn't happen that way. The things that God has put on this earth are for all, each and every man or woman who is born into this earth. It's a good will. Now, the good will doesn't mean that the good will is only for non-Christians or unbelievers. The good will refers to just the natural laws which we also enjoy. We also enjoy. You wear clothes, or you take something natural, or you know, this microphone is natural law operating, the chair you sit on, and everything about you, there are natural laws that you enjoy. They're put there by God, which we also enjoy. That is why this passage is written to Christians, not to non-Christians, to believers. So we also enjoy the good will, but that is not where we're supposed to be. If all you and I have as born again believers is the good will of God, we are no better than those who don't know God. What's the difference then? No difference. You have what they have. They have what you have. They do what you do. You did what they did. No difference. If all we have is just the good will of God, there will be no difference. So God doesn't want us to just know the good will. He wants us to know the perfect will. Perfect. What is the perfect will? The perfect will of God is when before you and I were born, God has a big book up there that has written exactly all the things He wanted you to do. When you discover His plan for you, when you discover what He wanted you to do, that is His perfect will. Whatever He wanted you to do, whether big or small, glorious in man's sight or not so glorious, but the most important thing is to do perfectly what He wanted to do. Whatever call He has on your life, and you're doing exactly that, that is the perfect will of God. Whatever He wanted you to do. And everybody must learn to do that perfect will. The acceptable will, the permissive will, is called the second death. Among believers, you can only taste of these two. Either you are in the permissive will or the perfect will. Now the good will is always there all the time. It will only end when God's judgment comes on this earth. Totally. And He will judge all of creation. But the struggle is between the perfect will and the permissive will. The permissive will is God's second best or third best or fourth best. That you didn't leave the best that God wanted you to. God has only the best. If you took the second best or the second choice, it is not God's perfect will. Example, in the time of the Israelites, God never wanted the Israelites to have a king. God never wanted them to have a king. God wanted to be their king. But they came to the prophet Samuel and said, make us a king like the other nations. We want a king who we can see, who can rule over us. They wanted their own idea. So God permitted them to have it. God permitted them. God even helped them to choose their king through the prophet Samuel. God permitted them to do it. Even God cannot violate your free choice. God cannot violate your free choice. Even God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, cannot violate our free choice. What you choose, God has to allow. When the people who saw the swine, 2,000 swine, go down the cliff, and Jesus with a madman sitting down, now saying, they said, Jesus, go away. Jesus never fought in trouble then. Jesus went away. Jesus will honor our choice. If you choose not to obey Him, He allows you. If you choose to obey Him, He delights you. He will never violate our choice. We are free to choose. But He wants us to choose the best, not the second best. And the perfect will of God is in two sections. The first section is all that is written in the book, the Bible. The second is a specific one for you. That means every commandment, every law, everything that is said for you to do, that is the perfect will. Plus the specific will for you. God wants only the best. From the beginning, God has only wanted the best for us. He made everything, first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, and He saw that it was good. It was good. He wanted the best for us. And when we choose the best, He begins to work the best. We can choose second best. We can choose second best. We are free to choose. And God will honor whatever our choice. Second best may lead to problems and difficulties later. You might still be sane. You'll still be on your way to heaven. But you did not lead to the fullness of what God wanted you to do. His first choice has been a bad. Have you all ever wondered why the Bible talks about different rewards? Do you know what caused different rewards? God wants to reward everyone the same. Think about that. All the crowns, all the rewards. God wants to reward all of us the same. It was never His intention and plan to reward differently. But we obey differently, we respond differently, and we do God's will to different extent and different percentage. Some are 90% faithful, some are 100%. Some are 80%, some are 70%. Some are faithful in one area, but unfaithful in other areas. God wants to reward according to our faithfulness to His will. How will we know His will? How will we differentiate? The renewal of your mind. Of your mind will make you a discerner of the three views. You begin to discern the difference between each stage and each view. How many believe that they can be like Jesus? Can I see your hand? Be like Jesus? You believe you can be like Jesus? Before we can be like Jesus, we have to think like Jesus. Before we can be like Jesus, we have to think like Jesus. I repeat, before we can be like Jesus and do the works of Jesus, we have to think like Jesus. How do you and I think? Are your thoughts the thoughts of God, the thoughts of Jesus? If they are not, your life will never be like Jesus. And the thoughts of God are very different from the thoughts of man. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, that the things of the Spirit are foolishness to the natural man. I have to relearn over and over again that some of the things the Spirit of God asks me to do sound very foolish. Sound very illogical at first. But there's a higher wisdom involved. How is it that when we pray a lot in tongues, in this language that I don't understand, that my mind feels it's just funny? Most of you have that kind of problem probably. That when you pray in tongues, you wonder what it was. In fact, when I was in the Baptist seminary, I received the baptism in the spring my second year as I was kneeling down on the floor of my dormitory room, praying and praying. Suddenly it felt like I didn't know what it was at that time, but now I know it's a presence of God. Came upon me, and I started speaking in a strange language. I am not mixed with Pentecostal folks yet. I have not become a fanatic yet. Don't have to be a fanatic, you're a fan for Jesus. I'm a fanatic, praying for Jesus. And so when those words came out, I thought, how foolish, how silly, how ridiculous, with these funny sounding words. And it sounded very funny. Because my mind could not understand it. The intellectual mind wanted to analyze. So for 1 year over, I never learned the value of praying in tongues. I was baptized in the Spirit. I spoke in tongues. But I never prayed in tongues much. Maybe in that whole year, I prayed about 15 minutes. All added up, you know, one word here, one word there, one word here, one word there, one word here, one word there. Just because it came out. And when you add it all together, it doesn't come to more than 15 minutes that year. And I was always having problems. I mean, the ministry was hard. I didn't know it was, Jesus said that I didn't realize it was supposed to be, the yoke was supposed to be easier. Or easy. And it was hard going. You try serving God without the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit, it is hard work. Discouraging, depressing, oppressing, suppressing, all the pressing. You add it all in. It was hard work. I saw one day in my discouragement, in my turmoil, that was in my third year, just beginning the third year, I just passed by a tongue-talking church. I see the word there, Pentecostal! That's where I can have some counseling. So I went to see the pastor there. I was only about 19 at that time. So I went to see the pastor there. And so the pastor took him to his room. I stayed one night with him. And he said, "Are you baptized in the Spirit?" I said, "I'm not sure." "Do you speak in tongues?" "I think so." "What's wrong with you?" "Well, the ministry." And said, "Jesus, you talk in tongues, you are baptized in the Spirit. Don't doubt." And he had a very shrill voice. "Don't doubt." I still can remember the way he said, "Don't doubt." You all might know that preacher, Jeremiah Abel, very shrill voice sometimes. "Don't doubt." It rang in my mind. I never realized I was doubting. I mean, the word sounds funny to me. Some of you thought that your tongues were funny, right? You say, "Oh, how I wish I could pray like some of those preachers who say, hula paki kuranga." Oh my, how I wish I could pray like that. And all I have is la 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 la. You know? All I have is sound like that washing machine. It's all right, just washing you up. Foolishness, right? Foolishness. It seems to the natural man. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The mind has to obey to the Spirit and not the Spirit to the mind. So I finally took my mind and put it aside and said, "I just leave you there for some time. I'll talk to you later. I just want to pray in tongues." Understand? And I told my mind to keep quiet, don't say anything, I'm just going to pray in tongues. So I went down from the pastor's office, went downstairs to the church auditorium, sat down with a guitar, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. I cannot understand it intellectually, I cannot put it together, but something happened, there was a lifting up. And meeting us. I felt the presence of God. I felt the power of God. I felt good. That's the way it will be in your life. The things of the Spirit are foolishness to the natural man. Sometimes people don't pray in tongues because they don't want to sound like a fool. They are, "I don't want to sound like a fool. All the time praying, la 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 la." I mean, at least you're yielding yourself to the Spirit in some way. anyone who has played long in time to tell you that it feels good, wonderful, beautiful, lovely, lovely, ecstasy. But how is for you? I do not know how the coming out of the words out of my mouth can produce that spiritual presence. But it does. But it does. And that was the first step on the renewing of the mind. When the mind learns to submit to God. And for the first time, the scales dropped on my eyes. I began to realize that all my life I have been living an intellectual Christianity. My Christianity was based on understanding, 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 understanding with my mind. Not revelation, revelation, revelation in my spirit. I must understand before I believe. I must understand before I believe. The word says believe before you understand. I had it the wrong way. And the vast majority of the church world lives in the intellectual way. Training in the intellectual way. So I gave up that rank, began to move into the things of the spirit. And Kenneth Copeland in the book Prayer said that when he read Charles G. Finney book, Charles G. Finney is a revivalist who lived in the Great Awakening. Charles G. Finney said in the book, when he began to go deep into prayer, he began to have, in quote, strange feelings. And Kenneth Copeland read that book and said, my, I haven't even entered the prayer realm until I have those kind of strange experience. All my experiences are rational. And he began to go deep into that realm. And truly a strange experience began to come. I'm not trying to make each one of you, you know, go off track. I'm not talking about strange experience until you really go to the deep end and go way out of the Word of God, where you begin to see funny things and do funny things that are outside God's Word. But the spiritual realm is very fearful to our intellect. The mind shivers in the intellectual realm. Every time an angel appears, the first words usually are, fear not. Because everybody shivers and is fearful. When Jesus walked into the living, upper part of the living room, there was a shiver that went through me. I mean, it is a fearful thing to contact the spirit realm. And sometimes in my own prayer life, I give myself to the Spirit of God. I yield myself to the Spirit of God. And just let go. Spirit says sing, I sing. Spirit says pray, I pray. Spirit says dance, I dance. I give myself to the Spirit of God. And strange sensations take place on my physical body. I had the choice to say, hold it, hold it, hold it, because get a hold of yourself. What is this thing taking place now? I could stop those experiences. But I continue to yield that as long as they are in line with the Word, I don't mind. As long as they glorify Jesus, I don't mind. And then I began to find that the Word of knowledge operates in a certain way. So I began to pray in tongues a lot. And one day when I was traveling and preaching away, I was going to an estate for the first time. When I was just about to pray for the boy, I felt pain on the neck there. You know, what's happening? What's happening in the mind that the devil is hanging you? What's that? And I never had that problem. Why all of a sudden it should come out? And then later I found out there was a little boy who had that throat problem on the left side.
even the Holy Spirit is testing the way He works.
And then when I was ministering, sometimes leading song. In those days, I used to lead song with my guitar
and minister with my guitar, my minstrel, call it.
And so, and I was ministering and worshiping. All kinds of sensations took place. Irrational one.
I mean, my right side will feel funny,
and then the left side will feel funny, and then the backbone will feel funny, and then the head feels funny on this side, and all kinds of strange sensations. I said, what's wrong with me now? Who's in there?
And so I began to realize that that was one of the many sensations of the world of knowledge. Foolishness, right?
The things of the Spirit of God are so simple, they sound foolish to the natural mind. When you pray in tongues, when you operate the things of the Spirit of God. In the same way, when He began to give strange sensations, and when I am in a home, I can tell whether your objects that you have any charm involved. Because strange sensations take place on my body. But, I repeat, if you have a spiritual experience, without the spiritual understanding, you see a nowhere. You see cannot do anything about it. That is why you need to renew your mind according to the Word. Three people can have the same experience and come up with different interpretations. Right. They will interpret differently. One person can have one dream. He talks to 10 persons, he got 10 interpretations. Smart, Alex. So we need the spiritual interpretation. If I have a spiritual experience and I do not renew my mind to understand through the Word what it is, I cannot impart. I cannot impart and I cannot operate on that area. And so I began to say, Lord, I know I'm in You. I know Psalm 91. I know I'm living a life as holy as I know how. I mean, I don't consciously go into sin and purposely do presumptuous sin. So Lord, I know that all these sensations that are coming to me, I do not believe that it's the devil cutting me all over my worshiping You. I don't believe that. Some people come up with that interpretation. They say, brother, pray for me. I say, what's wrong? You know, when I'm in my prayer closet, I pray, halfway, this person's picture appears to me. And I pray, someone, another picture comes to me. Pray for me, brother, the devil is infecting me. I had the same problem. And so when all those, what I call distractions, started coming to my mind, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. The problem was, the more you rebuke, the stronger they came. There's something wrong somewhere. And you pray in tongues, because praying in tongues, the devil don't like it. So you pray louder in tongues. Oh, Ramadikikabal, you pray, give yourself to pray in tongues. And the more you pray, the stronger he became. So what's wrong with it? Until one day the Lord said, son, that is me. That's me you're rebuking. I got a shock of my life. Said, sorry, my humble apology. So I began to call out the people with that condition. That's how I know. And it has to be supernatural. Of course, I'm not talking about an area where you yourself are saved. I mean, don't think that sometimes it's your own backache and you say, somebody has a backache. When it's you yourself having that backache for many years. You know, and every time you have a headache, you thought it's for somebody. I'm having it for somebody else. You can only operate in it when you live in divine health. I mean, if you have those kind of symptoms on your body, you cannot sense the difference. It can only happen when you are fully healthy in your body. That's why God wants a healthy body to work through. So that began to happen. And then I began to tell the Lord, Lord, if there are 1,000 people there, I say, somebody here has a backache.
And people come.
And then the unbeliever sitting there, say, yeah, of course not, 1,000 people sure got a few people got backache. What? It won't be much demonstration of your glory and your power. So Lord, you've got to do something else. And then the Holy Spirit says, it's you, not me. Say, me? Yeah, the problem is with you. If you yourself someone will tell you where they are. Oh. So begin to pay attention to him. And then to concentrate more on him. See, all these things, you have to concentrate your mind. You cannot operate in the spirit and in the mind of God while your mind is thinking about your life. Some of you might put a rose in the hour and you're right now worrying about that. You can be concentrating on the spirit. And so I begin just to concentrate on God, and then the Lord began to tell me about the sensations, how it comes, different strength, and I have to pay attention to what kind of sensation, what is like, describe it exactly. Sometimes you miss the description a little bit and it was not specific enough. So the Lord began to show how, like a radio. How do you all like to know how? For additional taste. And I, okay. Then you like for additional taste. When you put a radio and turn your radio on, if your radio is in a certain position, it's louder, certain position, it's soft. Right? It depends on the direction that the antenna picks it up. The position of the radio sometimes determines the loudness, the picking up of the radio waves. So the Lord said they are spiritual, the spirit is working, moving all the time. And it sounds foolish to your mind, it's very foolish to your mind, but if you put your mind aside, learn to operate from the spirit, then listen to me, then I will tell you exactly whether it's a man or a woman. And I tell you where the person is. And so the Lord began to show and began to teach. That's when he just began to go. So I was asking the Lord, Captain Kuman knew where the people were sitting. He's very specific, the balcony or the sun or the land or the land. So the Lord said, have you noticed that she always moves about? So I never noticed that. But then the Lord began to talk to me about that. And so, you see, when you move about, it's just like the, excuse me for using this kind of illustration, radio antenna, open, receiving. So sometimes they're moving to a crowd, and as you're moving, it goes, yum, 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 right? Something like, yum, right in that direction. The sound effects are fine. The Holy Spirit doesn't move in the kind of sound effect. So then you say, okay, there's one there, there's one. There's one there. So the Lord began to talk about moving the spirit. Now, sometimes it's very foolish to have my mind. It's only my mind is an intellectual one. But I began to understand, and the Lord began to illustrate it right away. Then I begin to understand the things of the spirit are sometimes so deep, so hard to understand, we need something natural to compare it. That is why Jesus always used parables. And so the Lord began to say, your keen senses, provided the people are in the unity and there's the atmosphere of the spirit around. And so I began to teach the people. So I began to teach the people in our mission at the time, Holy Christian Mission, about that. See, the anointing can be transferred when it's taught. When it's taught. You cannot produce the sensation, but when you know how it operates, it can come on you. And it rubs on you. And so without fear, every one of those in the mission learn to operate that symbol of knowledge. See, it can rub on others. In the way that the anointing operates. So, remember, I emphasize again, the things of the spirit are foolishness to the mind. So
some of the things that some of you thought were from the devil, when you pray the distraction comes. Think about it. Are they really distractions, or was it something the Lord trying to do in your mind? So you just pray about that. Some of the distractions you have, people coming to you, could be money to pray. When I pay attention to it, sometimes, now when I minister in the ministry, sometimes the Lord tells me, this person needs a phone call. So I call. That's why I call some of you. Or the Lord says, visit this person. You see, my visitation program is by the Spirit. I do plan a general schedule. But there is an open way, open places for the Holy Spirit. Sometimes there's as I pray, I wait upon the Lord, the Holy Spirit says, this person needs visitation. I say, alright Lord, so I have been to visit them. So the Holy Spirit impressed. And sometimes Spirit brings them to my mind. So I begin to know, and this is my conclusion. Why does God ask you to renew your mind? Because if your mind is renewed, you can hear God's voice. I repeat. When God asks you, don't do this, it's because He got something here for you. Alright? If God said, for example, don't eat this chicken drumstick. Can you all see the chicken drumstick? Can you all see? Yes, sir? Let me open my eyes. Look at how juicy it is. Kentucky fried chicken, finger licking good. Brown and golden. You see that? This drumstick. Now, when God says, don't eat this drumstick, some people don't know why. It's because He got another drumstick for you. He don't want you to have that one. He wants this one. Hallelujah. This one with a small tail. When God says, don't think evil thoughts, you say, I don't know why God asked me to do this. Think holy thoughts. You know what? Because if your mind is on the wrong thing, the things of the world and wrong thoughts, your mind is clogged up. And the receiver is clogged up, it cannot receive the voice of the Spirit. That's why. Can you see how good He is? He's a good God. He doesn't want to deny anything for us. He tells us not to have something so that He can have something better for us. I began to realize in my early ministry, because I'll be seeing this brother, I hope to bring him here. He was my senior in the seminary. Would you give me 5 minutes more to tell this story? Do I have your permission to violate that cardinal rule of going above 1 o'clock? Alright. So, you remember the revival that happened in Sabah in 1973. Thousands of Ghanaians came to know the Lord. When they came to the seminary, a few of them, straight from the revival when it was hot, they always say, the Lord told me. The Holy Spirit said this. The Lord said this. The Lord said that. The Lord said this. The Lord said that. The Lord said this. And I was still young and new in the midst. I said, my, how come the Lord never said anything to me? All I have is the Bible to read. These guys got the Lord say so many things to them. So I asked them, how did the Lord say? What was God's voice like to you? So they say, well, it's the days and like that. They could not tell me. Until in the end, I had to discover myself that God's voice can come to you like an inner thought. Like an inner thought. Everybody here knows when the devil speaks to you. How many here know temptation? Anybody here? Can I see your hand? You know what temptation is like. I'm not saying that you fall into temptation. Can I see your hands again? We have to pray for the rest, brethren. They have never been tempted. temptation hits you, you know there is a devil. When bad thought comes to you, you say the devil. So sometimes people come for prayer and say, oh, the devil told me this, the devil told me that, the devil said this, the devil said that, the devil said this, the devil said that.
You must have been a very good friend with the devil. He said a lot of things to you.
When the devil said all these things, you know. When God said,
you don't know.
You don't know when God said, Jesus said, my Savior, my Lord.
So here it says, when a bad thought comes, it's the devil. When good thoughts in line with the Bible come, many times it's God's voice to you. Isn't that simple?
So simple, and yet I miss it. And when it strikes me, I realize, God, you have been talking to me all the time, and I didn't know it. Your thoughts can come from three ways: from the devil, from God, or from yourself.
So you have to realize from which realm it's coming from through the renewing of the mind. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. The Holy Spirit has been speaking to each one of you even while I was talking just now. Some of the thoughts that are coming to you have been answers to prayer or directions in your life. Pay attention to Him. The Holy Spirit's presence is all over this auditorium right now. And right now the Holy Spirit is pulling and drawing upon the heartstrings of each one here. If you are right now in our midst, and you could sense the Holy Spirit moving upon your life, and you do know that you're not sure of your salvation, you're not sure whether you're born again or not, you're not sure about whether you make Jesus your Lord, and right now you want to make it sure, you know that if you die right now, you're not sure whether you'll make it to heaven. Right now, God is speaking unto you. And if you sense the desire towards Jesus right now, the drawing of the Holy Spirit in your heart, that is the Holy Spirit calling you, working in your life. For no man can come to the Father, but as the Father draws you. There's a drawing of the Holy Spirit in your life right now. If you are yield to that, God has a blessing for you. Right now, you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. Not sure of your salvation, and you need prayer, you need assurance of salvation. You need Jesus, you need help, you need prayer right now, very quickly. Lift up your right hand and say, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Right now. Right now. Let it high. Yes, I see that hand. If any others will want to say and join us, let us say, I need Jesus. Lift up your right hand right now, very quickly. The Holy Spirit is moving. Right now. Right now. Any others say, I need Jesus. Every head bow, every eye closed. Right now. Lift up your right hand. Yes, I see that hand. Yes. Any others say, I need Jesus. Right now. I need to be born again. I need Jesus. Any other, quickly now, the Holy Spirit waiting for you, calling you, drawing you. Don't make God wait, because there's an anointing here right now. Yes, I see that hand. Any others, right now, don't make Him wait, because the anointing will lead from the anointing for salvation right now. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. You can put on your hands now. Right now, I want each one of you to stand to your feet. And as we sing that song, all to Jesus, I surrender. Jesus said that if you confess me before men, the Holy Spirit is already working very strong in some of your hearts that can sense it. Now, Jesus Christ said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. So you lifted up your hand, I want you to be bold. When you say all to Jesus, that's the right meaning and come.
Virtually all say in a friend, yes, surrender to him. And if you come with your friend, you can come out with your friend. Just by lift out your hands, make your way right to the front when you sing that song. Then, by coming forward, you're saying, I surrender all to him. I come to him. Publicly. He died openly for me. I accept him openly. Come right to the front. Those of you who cannot live out your hands, and you want Jesus to come into your heart and life, come to him. Those of you who have strayed away from God, you know you are deep prodigal time that the word of God says, come back to the Lord. Turn away from the sin and come right to the front. Jesus died for you. Come. Jesus is calling.
All to Jesus.
Come right to the front. Right to the front.
You repeat this prayer after me. And when you do so, mean it with all your heart. And the Holy Spirit's anointing will begin to operate even in your life and work in your lungs with experience of Him coming into you. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. I receive you, Jesus. I receive the forgiveness of sin. Thank you for cleansing me from all my sins. Thank you, Jesus. Dear Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Right now. Give me the born again experience. Now. In Jesus. I receive you, Jesus, into my heart. Into my life. Thank you, Jesus, that right now I'm born again. And if I die right now, I thank you, Jesus, I'll be in heaven with you. So close your eyes, lift up your hands, if you want to pray for me right now. Everybody, just stretch your hands towards heaven and bless him for you. As the Holy Spirit begins working in your heart experience of a new birth. It is an experience that is unforgettable. The experience of being translated from the kingdom of light into darkness. As the Spirit of God begins to work in their spirit manner and operate.